Heather Barth, welcome.
Thank you.
Acres Land Trust has begun creating a brilliant 200-year snapshot of Winghaven Nature Preserve that's near Angola and Pokagon State Park. That's a long-term commitment. Why now, Heather?
We took a look at the Indiana State Seal when this project was first presented to us. And when you look at the state seal, you see a man with an axe cutting down trees, a bison running out of the picture. And that was our land ethic at the time. We were settling to clear space to create communities, to create safe spaces, you know, to raise our families and to earn a livelihood. And we wanted to see how our land ethic might change 200 years from now. We're now planting trees again and bringing native species back into the picture. And so we were just really curious about how that might change in another 200 years.
Okay, and Winghaven certainly is a lovely acquisition that Acres is very, very proud of. Now, that legacy and the artistry of the site involves its original owners, Helen and Ben Swenson. So how did they impact that region?
Helen and Ben Swenson were the original innkeepers of the Pottawatomie Inn at Pokagon State Park. They fell in love with the region, and when their stint at the park ended, they purchased land across from what is now I-69 and built their own resort to welcome people for respite and restoration in nature.
My goodness, talk about spirit of that day.
Truly.
Nature preserve-wise, then, what makes Winghaven so special?
Winghaven has a rich diversity of plants, birds, mammals, aquatic life, and three major ecosystems: lakes bordered by a fen and upland forest, rolling grasslands. It's really a rich natural system.
You hardly ever get all three of those in one good park or preserve, to be sure. So back to the Ecological Restorations Project, Heather. It has commissioned works by artists, humanities scholars, and scientists since its start in 2017. Now, so far that has included poetry, digital mapping, visual art, and this year, original music by Ken Yaley. Now, how are these shared with the public there at Winghaven?
These are shared with the public primarily through our website, acreslandtrust.org. And additionally, every May, we host a spring celebration at Winghaven, where we bring out these works. We bring out the paintings, the original paintings, the plant inventories that have been done as part of this project, and put them on display for folks to check out. They can come explore the preserve, the trail systems, meet the artist of the year, and really get a better sense of not only the project and Winghaven, but our organization as well.
The whole flavor of your work. So let's talk about Ken's Winghaven Chamber Music for Classical Guitar for a moment. It's actually quite fun and accessible, and he calls it a cryptogram.
Right. He incorporated the name Winghaven. It's encoded, basically, into the notes of the piece. If you ever have a chance to talk to Ken about how he created this, to hear his excitement and enthusiasm, it's just a wild story about how he developed the concept for the piece.
And a beautiful piece of music as well. Now, this 200-year plan, most of all, aims to create a better understanding of how a particular place changes through time. Why is that so important?
That's important to help people gain a greater understanding and respect, greater appreciation for natural spaces. Our hope is that folks incorporate it into their sense of place, their sense of community.
And how do you feel that these perspectives and mediums do that?
They really capture the sense of Winghaven through a wide variety of lenses to give us a very broad understanding of how people are interpreting this place, starting in 2017 and every year for the next 200 years. And that will show us how our interpretation of places changes over two centuries, how our land ethic changes over two centuries. What's important to us today may be completely different 50 years from now, 150 years from now.
Not to mention the various mediums used to interpret it.
Right. It's really important to us that when we talk about arts and humanities for this project, that we're considering a wide variety of mediums. So you'll see poetry, mixed media pieces, music. We're looking forward to maybe incorporating dance as a commissioned piece. we're not solely focused on what people think of traditional mediums of art. We certainly have Gwen Guttwein's wonderful oil painting. We'd love to consider fiber arts, sculpture, and the humanities studies that would include various forms of writing, poetry, that type of thing.
And then, of course, the very science of what is happening there, and as time goes on, is going to be to everyone's advantage to recognize and study.
Right. The science is critical as a piece of this project in that it documents how nature is changing. It documents the plant life, the aquatic life, and how the land changes over time, how forests develop, how they grow into open spaces, how the lakes might change in 200 years. What's that water level look like?
So you have sort of a head start at keeping things preserved and corrected for whatever happens environmentally.
Right. The scientific information that we're collecting as part of this project will absolutely help drive our stewardship plans for the property.
Great. So how does funding such a long-term project begin and maintain that momentum that you need?
Funding for this project begins with an endowment. It's inconceivable to try to fundraise for a project that's going to last well beyond any of our lifetimes. We're really fortunate that the Lupke Foundation stepped up and provided the seed money for the project. And we continue to raise money every year, write grants, collect donations. Anyone who wants to support the project, we welcome their donation. That donation gets put into the endowment so that we have that money available designated for this project for the long term.
Now, I have to ask, because it does exceed our lifetimes to be sure, if all goes well, what might it allow you to do as an organization, even in the shorter and medium term?
Shorter and medium term funding will allow us to continue to commission the works of art, the humanities works, the scientific research. We have enough funding and endowment to fund a one-off project each year. Our goal is to raise $1 million for the endowment that would then provide enough funding to support an artist in residence program. There's a wonderful historic log cabin on site. There's a historic log studio on site, and we would be thrilled to have the level of funding available to place an artist on site for a set number of months to be inspired by the preserve, to create their work, and to help steward the property while they're living there.
My, my, what a noble goal. Best of luck on all of that. And okay, since you're honoring a mid-20th century natural treasure with a 200-year project, which you actually started in 2017, how do you make it all and keep it all relevant in this busy, crazy 21st century?
We keep it relevant, I think, by incorporating the various mediums of art. We seek local artists who are actively working, producing pieces in a variety of mediums that are attractive to just about anybody. If music isn't your thing, we've got mixed media pieces that are being produced. We have the traditional oil painting that's being produced. So I think that's the best way for us to keep it relevant. The spring celebration is wonderful. It's a time for people to gather together, to meet other like-minded people who are interested in this kind of thing. That helps keep us relevant and current and tapping into today's society.
We also do joyfully see more and more young kids, the next generation, if you will, getting into the whole ecological cycle of things. Is that reflected maybe especially at Winghaven?
Absolutely. We're seeing more young families. We're seeing more young single people get involved with acres. Certainly many, many people enjoy the trails. We hope that that translates to more participation in the organization with events and support and a variety of ways of volunteering. But we definitely are seeing this younger crowd, and it's really inspiring to see these young people be so community-minded. They're really all about making their community the most vibrant place to live and work. We're definitely seeing that reflect in Acres.
That's fantastic for the entire community. Now, meanwhile, how did the upside-down year of COVID craziness affect your organization as well as this campaign?
Sure. This project was affected by COVID in that it provided Ken with an outlet for his musical expression when there was little else he could do. He shared with us what a great gift it was that we reached out to him. He's a wonderful friend of Acres. He's been involved with us for a long time. It was a wonderful opportunity for him to stay busy, to keep those creative juices flowing when he couldn't host in-person music lessons or do some of the other work that he does. In general, COVID affected Acres in a wide variety of ways, like so many other organizations, and it was a bit of a double-edged sword for us. We saw a lot more people enjoying the preserves because that was one of the few outdoor activities that was promoted as being safe and acceptable to participate in. We saw an uptick in membership. We had more people joining the organization. However, general donations did drop. You know, people were really feeling the financial pinch of the pandemic. And so that did affect us. With the increased use of the preserves, we saw a lot more degradation of the trails. People who might not understand that they're in a special place, leaving litter behind and maybe misusing the preserves. So it definitely was a balancing act for us, but I feel that we came out on the other side of things better for it. You know, we've got a lot of gas in the tank and we're ready to engage with people again now that it's safe to do so.
Full speed ahead.
Right.
Lovely, lovely. Now, since Helen Swenson's own art was such a big part of Winghaven, especially the resort itself, how does it continue to enhance, maybe inspire, the present day acquisitions, do you think?
We're really fortunate that we have a lot of Helen's original artwork in our archives. That certainly keeps us inspired in working for our mission of protecting local land. We're fortunate that we have some of Helen's artifacts even. We've got her paint box and her palette. And so you'll see bits and pieces of Helen infused in various aspects of the organization, and not only her watercolor paintings, but her calligraphy. And she did a lot of paintings on wooden planks and various materials, really anything she could get her hand on. She would jazz it up with her own flair.
What a wonderful inspiration to artists and art lovers alike. And that's a gift that you feel is just going to keep on giving and giving and giving.
Absolutely. It's no secret that nature provides unending inspiration to artists. We're just tickled to be able to provide these places that remain not only protected today, but forever, so that artists can continue to get that inspiration.
So now, reflecting on that dynamic duo, Tom and Jane Dustin, two of the original founding members of Acres, as well as fierce preservation warriors, bottom line, what do you hope everything about this program will do to further their goal of protecting and sharing our wilderness areas forever?
Ultimately, our hope is that people feel inspired to not only enjoy and appreciate these places, but to take action to help keep them protected.
Fort Wayne resident Heather Barth is Advancement Director for Acres Land Trust. Heather, thank you for sharing the wonderful story of this glorious project with us today. Best of luck and Acres forever.
Thank you, Julia.
Thank you. you.